This show has been brought to you by the Thomas Allen Collection. The Thomas Allen Collection is a men's accessory line designed to attract and capture a variety of tastes with a unique appeal. Thomas Allen strives to produce an extraordinary design to turn a new leaf on fashion for men and at desired occasions. If I told you once, I told you several times on this podcast that ladies, get your men a Thomas Allen Collection tie. They'll love it. Gentlemen, get you a Thomas Allen Collection tie. You can't go wrong with rocking a Thomas Allen Collection tie at a formal event. I'll be rocking one in an upcoming at the CBC events. BG, don't you own a Thomas Allen Collection tie?
Yes, sir. And they way fly than anything that's already out there. I got a couple of them, so I recommend going out there and getting some of that flay.
Yep, Thomas Allen Collection. You can reach him at 678-960-9171, 678-960-9171. Thomas Allen, when tying a knot really counts. Now on to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, a classic. A classic.
This love. It's been a long, long time coming. But I know a change gon' come. Yeah, I chose the path. The path chose me. This a love plan. Divine decree, natural high, window sheet, up a parallel view, let the ghetto see. BK, and OLA, OMF, GLD, amazing grace, hater whispers.
Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, home of the New South Movement. BG's.
Chill, chill.
I'm way up. I feel blessed.
Where that come from, man?
Oh no, man! It's past my bedtime, and
your lord. There's a late one, people.
If they only knew what we went through, or what never we go through.
Never not working though.
Never working.
We committed to getting this in, so we're gonna do what we need to do make this happen.
We are committed, but you know what's funny though?
What's
you
up?
You know how when you get real sleepy, you say things and do things that you normally wouldn't do.
Yeah, that can't happen. But that ain't finna happen right now, is it?
It may.
You can't do that. We got a lot on the table.
It may, but guess what? You know how Lil Boosie, you ever heard, you listened to Lil Boosie album, didn't it?
Yeah.
He got a song on there that say, I got my hands up, my hands up. You know that song?
Yeah.
You know why I got my hands up?
Why?
It's a takeover. We got the third wheel on the, we got a third wheel on the podcast with us today.
Yeah,
sir.
We got a new superstar on our hands right now.
Hey, the newest member to the family, to the New South Movement Network.
New South Movement.
Let me just introduce y'all to my co-host of D1 Sports Talk podcast. BG is a takeover. I got my hands up. My hands up. The one and only. Coach, what's happening?
What happening? Well, good.
Code D.
Hey, free lunch.
Really, man? That's how you going to come out, man?
Hey, free lunch.
That's how you going to come out, man?
Big crowd listening to free lunch. I just want to say hey.
Hey, man. That's crazy. Then you talking about them jalapeno peppers and the price of corn.
Hey, man, that time of the year.
That's hilarious. Yeah, Mary football. It's in there.
Mary football is definitely in the air, and we definitely had to bring on the newest member to the family. We had to bring Coach on to the episode. We dropped for the listeners that are listening on today. We actually dropped the very first episode of D1 Sports Talk that features myself as well as Coach. And we really wanted to use this podcast to introduce the Free Lunch Podcast family, not only to the podcast, the D1 Sports Podcast, but we also wanted to just introduce you guys to Coach. If you don't know Coach, you definitely, if you start listening to that show, he has a really outgoing personality, knows very little about football, but he talks like he knows a lot.
Nah, how you gonna do that in the intro, man? How you gonna throw a shot? Shots fired.
Cause that's what we do.
No doubt. No doubt. I'm gonna tell y'all something though.
What's up?
I feel like a member of the Four Horsemen.
Hey,
which one you with?
Being part of the New South movement, I feel like I'm a new member of the NWO.
The NWO.
Yeah.
The Wolfpack.
For life.
Hey, did y'all hear what happened to Jimmy Fly Snooker today?
Yeah, they said Snooker on Snook one.
Yeah, that's what they say. I was going to bring that up in the Hot Topics, but BG, have you heard that?
I missed that. What happened, man?
Man, after 32 years, Jimmy Snooker has been indicted and was arrested for the murder of his fiance of 32 years ago. At the age of 23, an autopsy has revealed that she had head trauma, and they believe it is a result of Jimmy Fly Snooker.
Not the Super Fly. Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. 1983, bro.
1983.
Google it.
Yeah.
Google it.
I'm on it.
GTS.
Man.
GTS, BG.
Hey, man. How old he is?
Snooker got to be by 80.
They say he's 70.
Hey, man. He must have been. Man, I ain't gonna even say that.
So not only do all lives matter, but so do black
wrestler lives.
Wrestler lives. Wrestler lives matter too.
Yep.
Man.
So anyway.
That's terrible.
Yeah, man. I didn't know if you had heard that, but let's get into a quick topic. BG, you mentioned on during some of our prep that you wanted to touch on briefly, and I do mean briefly on this whole Black Lives Matter before we get into D1 Sports. Anything you wanted to add or really discuss in that particular issue?
Well, really, that just came up because this weekend they had a All Lives Matter rally in Birmingham. I was in Birmingham for Sidewalk Film Festival, and I caught word. It was a lot of people moving around in downtown Birmingham, and they came to find out that Glenn Beck, the former, I guess, analyst, anchor, whatnot from Fox News, had called an All Lives Matter conference for that particular evening. And just looking at the reports, it was about 20,000 people there. I think all demographics of the community was represented, but there's been a lot of discussion about that and this whole All Lives Matter campaign, which seems to be just a counter to what's being said and what's being done with the Black Lives Matter. And we'll probably have future talks about that. But I just wanted to kind of raise that as an issue. It's like, really, what's the motive behind that? On the surface, it sounds like a good caption or good headline for this effort to bring all lives together, make everybody understand that all of our lives have some value. And it sounds good, but in reality, like, do all lives matter? And I think that we can sit here and say that all people don't view all lives in the same in the same light. And then if they can get together for a convention and proclaim that all lives matter, all I just want the people to do is to prove it, like prove that all lives matter and stand up for some of these injustices that's going on in the neighborhood. So it's just one of those things that's going on right now. It's trending topic here in the state of Alabama. And so I just thought about that came across my mind, and I wanted to raise that question because there was a lot of people just kind of going back and forth on that.
I personally think that we all can agree, and I think it's kind of self-explanatory that all lives matter. I think the problem and the issue that happens with the All Lives Matter campaigns are that they're trying to downplay and trying to fade out the fact that a number of innocent unarmed black men are being killed. And they're trying to, in so many ways, it's really from a white privilege mindset or perspective that makes that statement. I think we all can agree that black lives matter, that all lives matter. But I think in this day and age and with social media, I think that it's been a lot of injustices and a lot of crimes that have been targeted at African-American males. And I think that the Black Lives Matter group or campaign is really just trying to highlight an epidemic that is kind of right before us. I think that that's the reason why you have to kind of really question this whole All Lives Matter campaign that's taking place.
Yeah, it's just another example of the dialogue being dictated by those that don't want to just acknowledge the fact that there are some injustices going on. The Black Lives Matter campaign, from what I've known about it and what I've gotten from my research, is not really a campaign to say that Black Lives Matter more, but really it's a focus and it's a pointed mission with a detailed agenda. Like, there are some things in the mission that are spelled out, and they really speak to the things that are going on that are really affecting our community, us as Black men and women, in a very specific way. And like I say, I think this All Lives Matter thing is just another opportunity or that's been taken to try to dictate the dialogue and to get people's focus all twisted up. Ironically enough, though, you would think that would just be probably a conservative demographic that would support something like this All Lives Matter rally. But you had a lot of Black pastors and a lot of black congregation members and Black participants in this thing as well. So it's just one of those things. It's one of those things that's going to probably be being heard more and more. And so, you know, we just got to kind of be ready and be prepared and be focused for the things to come.
Yeah. Go ahead, Coach.
I have personally seen this Black Lives Matter campaign, I guess you want to call it, in action. The first time I had ever heard of it, we were actually in Birmingham, BG. We was at a track meet at indoor, and a lot, like you said, a lot of movement was going on, and saw a lot of commotion going on. And basically, what happened was the members of the organization came inside of the indoor facility in Birmingham at the track meet, and they proceeded to parade themselves around the track meet with signs and posters and, you know, chants and things like that. And I personally don't have a problem with the movement at all. But sometimes I feel like the way some of these things are presented and some of the ways that that they're put out there, I think some of those ideas need to be rethought. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the way I looked at it is as if, whether I'm Black or not, at that point in time, I was a paying customer sitting there watching my child or daughter or son out there running. And these people were walking like just in front of the aisles, and they just piled up and made all these, you know, people couldn't see. And that caused a commotion. Mm-hmm. And it alarmed a lot of people also because, you know, they were getting police escort. Now, I must say the police force did a great job of allowing them their freedom of speech and, you know, allowing them to walk through the facilities there. But it just took away from the kids, I felt like, in that instance. I've never seen them in any other situation, so I can only speak for, like I said, the one time that I saw them. But and once again, I didn't have a problem with it at all. It was just I felt like the venue and the way they presented themselves that particular moment took away from what those kids was out there doing, you know, by causing so much commotion. But you know, like you guys say, I mean, I don't have any problem with it. I do. I also feel like all lives matter. But you know, to put light on that, like I said, it's just the way they presented it that I felt like was a problem for me.
That's the big question with these mass demonstrations and this so-called New Age movement is like, where, how organized is it? What is the true function, or what is the objective of what we're doing? Yeah, it's good to be disruptive, but what is the end game? What are you trying to achieve with doing that? And I think that's very important as we go forward, is like, yeah, we want to demonstrate, but we also want to demonstrate with time, place, and purpose in mind.
I continue to use PETA as the example, and how strategic that organization is when it comes to fighting for animal rights, and how they move strategically. Even just a few weeks ago, you still got people protesting Mike Vick, and he served his time. Mike Vick served his time.
He been in jail and back.
He done been in jail and back.
Peter will catch you coming out of the grocery store and throw some dog food on your dog food on
or some
truck.
Paint.
Okay.
The lady was out there at the Pittsburgh Steelers boycotting and complaining about Mike Vick, who served his time. But the issue I have is yes, Black Lives Matter, but you know, I want to as I continue to watch this organization or this movement, you really got to see more of a strategic and not this whole. It's almost like it's organized chaos when they go to the rallies and have these disturbances at politician Bernie Sanders' event and approach Hillary Clinton and have a dialogue, but really aren't able to provide any substance, in my opinion, around what the next steps are for the movement. So you just got to be a little bit more strategic and organized from that perspective. But BG, to your original point, I think we all can assume and we all can agree that all lives matter. But in this climate of unjust for guys that look like myself and UBG and Coach, it's been unarmed guys that look like us that have been shot down and killed by police officers and that sort of thing. So I think that's the purpose of the movement.
Yeah, but that ain't what we came here to talk about.
That ain't what we came here to talk about. I really wanted to, Coach, I had a question for you. I typically ask you this question via text message, but with this being the opening season of college football, is this a real ball with them Wayne weekend?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You got the Chick-fil-A kickoff. It's a definitely a Wayne weekend. I'm thinking a little lemon pepper myself.
Lemon pepper.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm gonna give me some.
Got a little lemon pepper. I might even get a little pizza.
Wayne's and pizza.
Wayne's and pizza.
Hey man, where you getting the wings from these days since they shut the connection down though?
Oh man, that was a break to my heart at home, boy. I might have to go over here to probably Jim Ball, man.
Who is Jim Ball? That's some new stuff, though.
Yeah, Jim Ball got a little spot over here in Tiger Town. They got one downtown Opelika. They got some good wings, lemon pepper on point.
So coach, explain to the people what D1 Sports Talk is. Because some of them haven't listened to it yet. We did our first recording last week. We dropped the podcast today. How would you describe D1 Sports Talk podcast? And who would you say the market or attended audience is?
Basically, what we're going to give you is we're going to talk all things college football. And I feel like we give that to you with I termed it as a barbershop flavor. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we regular guys, just like most people that sit in there, for those of you that go to the barbershop. And y'all know you can go in the barbershop and kind of get any kind of information on anything you want. And that's what we're going to give you. Now, what separates me from the barbershop is I coach a little ball. That's about it. I'm not that guy that has, I don't have Urban Meyer on speed dial. I don't know a friend of Nick Saban's. I don't have any close contacts with any college coaches. I just coach a little high school ball. So what make me so special to be on D1 Sports Talk? Nothing. Nothing.
How did I know
especially
that?
Especially because
coming.
I was chosen.
You were chosen.
Why.
You wanted to chose you. And that's all that matters.
So that's why I'm on now.
So what do the people hear though? What are you telling them?
Well, me and Tyke, as he said, don't agree on much. We tend to disagree on a lot of things, but it's all good rhetoric, and I think that's what's going to be interesting about the show, is because you'll get two different perspectives on all things college football. Me and Tyke, we both Auburn fans, but when Auburn is not doing what they're supposed to do, we'll show let you know in a minute. But that's pretty much it, man. You're going to get sports talk from with a barbershop flavor.
It's a lot of entertainment. Be Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had an opportunity to listeners, if you guys don't know, BG is the producer. He's the producer of all our podcasts. He does an excellent job, and he's actually in the mix of working on some things as well. But BG, you had an opportunity to listen to the podcast a few times as a listener, and as a first time listening to the D1 Sports Talk podcast. What were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, it was good to be able to kick back and listen to y'all guys work. Because we've been doing this for a long time, we've had a lot of opportunity to sit around at the crib and at the 805D or whatever, talking about anything under the sun. So to hear come out in that format, you know, hear y'all talking about this upcoming football season was good, man. And it was really, like I was telling you earlier, it's real smooth because – It's coming from two guys that, like Love was saying, don't have all this pomp and circumstance, but know the game. And then, you know, you guys brought out the stats and the outlook on this season in comparison to what these teams did last season. So it was different. You know, it was really like barbershop. It was really down on the level to where we just kicking it and having a conversation. So I was impressed, man. Like I said, I listened to it a couple of times, and it was definitely entertaining. It was entertaining for sure. But I'm expecting big things from it, and I know that as the weeks go by, it's just going to be more and more. So, you know, I'm high on this show, and I think the rest of the folk going to be high on it too. Because there's a void. It's filling the void.
It really is. And Coach, I'd be interested to get your perspective. But a few folks have actually that had an opportunity to listen to the podcast today reached out to me, and they really, really, really enjoyed it. And I mean, I've gotten all kind of commentary on it, and it wasn't that typical commentary where folks tell me, this was a good show, a great job. They really had details around specifics. One of them being the jalapeno peppers, and the coffee
corn. That was classic.
That one being a very common topic that was brought up, but just the overall entertainment of the show was really some of the feedback I received after we dropped the show on day one. What's some of the feedback that you received, Coach, since we released the show today?
I had two guys that actually told me the only negative that they had about the show is that they wasn't on it. Because we all know guys that can talk that barbershop talk. You know, guys that we always talk ball with. Just like you guys said, it is filling the void. You know, one of my friends talked about how it was unique to any other talk show that you see on any other network. And hopefully that's the draw to the people. The one thing that I can say, doing this the first time, this being my second time on podcast, is just the fact that it's pretty obvious that you are who you are. That's what I learned from listening to Tyke on the radio and now me doing it myself. I can only be me, you know, and hopefully that comes out and the people enjoy that.
I think it did, and I definitely agree, is that there's a void. I think that as we continue to deliver episodes and we continue to deliver and provide more commentary throughout the football season, I think we'll continue to draw listeners. I think that the podcast platform just in the South is new. And I think that once a number of the listeners get familiar with just a podcast and the idea of podcasting here in the South, I think we'll definitely continue to see the numbers grow like they have with Free Lunch Podcast, and like we would like to see them to continue to grow on this particular podcast.
And when you think about it, man, we are right here in the I go as far as to say that the college football capital of the nation, if you want to go that far, but definitely in the South, where you've got the Auburn and Alabama, the Iron Bowl, and the way that this state circles around college football. Like, that's all that we have. So
we got Ashley Madison too now.
Oh man, I was erasing Ashley Madison from my vocabulary. Yeah,
I'm
man.
Just that's, saying we number one in some. You know, we're gonna be number one in everything. Oh, we number one. Oh, in.
But while we talk about number one, I want to shout out Lanes Barbecue for taking number one in the Alabama barbecue off. They got like over 200,000 votes for being the best barbecue joint in the state of Alabama. So shout out to Lanes. Wow. Y'all love that sauce.
Where that located at, homeboy?
Oh, man, we got two locations in Selma, Alabama. One is on Medical Center Parkway, but the original is on Milner Avenue.
Let's eat.
In the hood. So the next time y'all come through, we got to go get some of that Lane.
Y'all know BG is the Selma ambassador.
I'm an ambassador. We won that, though. That was as of 12 o'clock. This afternoon, we took number one. We are the champions.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But, yeah, like I was saying, though, we're right here in the Capitol. So you're going to get that insight on the game of football and college football from a place that lives college football basically 365.
Speaking of which, we got the upcoming games this weekend. I know you made some predictions. Any thoughts or any comments that you want to make since hearing the release of the Auburn depth chart, or hearing the news of the starting quarterback at Florida State, or anything that's happened since we actually recorded? Not to really get into the X's and O's per se, but anything you want to discuss or talk about on today's show that we may even use as we record later this week.
Yeah, speaking of the Florida State quarterback situation, I felt like that was very interesting. I felt like Ghost was going to win that position anyway. But I'm kind of itchy to see how he's going to play. You know, when he was at Notre Dame, he had won all those straight games until losing to Alabama, and then he ended up losing his starting position at Notre Dame. So I'm very interested to see how he does at Florida State. You know, they need some positive PR right now at Florida State. They lost a lot of players to the NFL. So I'm very interested to see how he's going to do down there. So that was interesting to see.
But they've also lost a lot of players to domestic violence and different things.
Oh, yeah. Around, oh, no doubt. They need some positive PR bad at FSU.
We have a number of female listeners to this particular podcast here. And what are your thoughts on how the SEC is banning having athletes that have a history of domestic violence be able to even transfer to the conference?
I think it's a great step. You know, somebody's got to be the leader in stepping out there and doing things like that. I definitely think, you know, that situation that Alabama stepped in was kind of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just kind of goes to show sometimes that some things are more important than just winning a football game. You know, the character at which you conduct yourself as a coach and as a student athlete should be a high priority. And, you know, somebody got to be leading the way on these things. And I'm proud to say that my conference, the SEC conference, is taking the lead on the stance on something like that. And hopefully everybody kind of jump on board with that. But somebody got to take the lead on stuff like that, man. This domestic violence stuff is getting way out of hand.
Quick, Coach, you coach on the high school level. Is that even discussed? Is domestic violence, is the Ray Rice situation, are any of those discussed in high school locker rooms?
Actually, that has never been a situation. In my 7 years of coaching high school football, I have never had a situation to where we have had to talk to a kid about domestic violence. Obviously, we talk to them about a range of things. Our coaching staff does a great job of just kind of reminding our kids of choices. We talk to our kids all the time about everything you do, you have a choice to make. And just talking to them and trying to counsel them on making the right choices all the time. We talk about this stuff every day, even something as simple as, you know, not driving fast out of the parking lot, or you know, especially living in a college town like Auburn. Something we've been really harping on is, you know, game day weekends. You know, there's a lot of influences out there with the college students and being at tailgates and all that kind of stuff. Also at the school that I work at, we are under our student athletes now are under a drug policy, so they can be randomly drug tested at any time. I feel like our school system is taking the lead on that from a statewide position. And but we constantly talk to our kids about making good choices. Are they going to always do that? Absolutely no. But it's just like being a parent to a child. You know, you got to always try to instill those positive values and those positive thoughts and thought processes in their minds at all time, and hopefully some of it will start to sink in.
And it's, you know, kids, and they're going to be immature and make bad decisions, so you have to give them space to do that. But it's kind of unfortunate, though, that the schools and the teams are having to go so far with policing the players. And I have a hard time with it when you look at the guy has an opportunity, a stellar athlete, even when he gets there, you know, has everything going for him, and he just can't seem to stay out of trouble. And I guess that's just some of the maturity. I can say that as a 30-something-year-old person now to be like, go somewhere and sit down and just ride that thing out till you graduate, get drafted or whatnot. But it just seems so difficult for the kids to just – except the fact that I'm an athlete and I have the potential to go to excel and to make a career out of this sport that I've been blessed to be able to play and just play it cool. But like time after time, a guy would just find himself getting in trouble and sacrificing that opportunity to really make something out of it.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you see that stuff on the NFL level also. You know, you look at these guys, these guys making millions of dollars and risk it all over something simple, over something as small as, you know, you making millions of dollars and you failing a drug test because you can't put weed down, or you making millions of dollars and you reckless driving because you drunk. You making millions of dollars and you want to go and fight and or hit a woman in a club or something like that. I mean, look at the amount of people that suffer from your mistakes, because let's keep it real. A lot of these guys in the NFL, you know, those millions that they're making, they are supporting a lot of people instead of just the people in their homes. You know, a lot of people eat off of that one guy that's playing in the NFL. You know, some of these guys don't come from the best backgrounds. And so a lot of people feeding off of them. And to make a mistake like that, you just, so many people suffer from it. You know, it's just all about those choices, man. Again, choices that we make.
But not to continue on this topic, because I did have two or three more quick hot topics I wanted to get Coach to address. But what are the universities putting in place to help these young men, though? Because at the same time, you have young men that are coming from violent backgrounds, that are coming from backgrounds that have very little parental support, and you're asking them, whether it's from them going to high school to the college level or from the college to the high school level, where they may have been superior stars but not had anyone to actually develop them into the men they need to be. So what responsibility or what programs are these schools putting in place to help these folks? Because I don't want to put it all on the athlete.
Oh, I agree. I know for a fact some universities, I really don't know what they call it, but I look at it as a form of babysitting. And what I mean by that is there are some universities that, you know, small things, for starters, like staying on campus, curfew hours. I know one university that does, you know, like these weekly, you know, how like a lot of schools do like a weekly devotional with the team chaplain and things like that. Sometimes they do those. Sometimes they'll have a weekly meeting about anything else, where they may bring in a former athlete to come in and just sit down and talk to them about decision making, once you get to the next level, making mistakes and all that kind of stuff. I know also some universities also do 24-hour day. Well, I shouldn't say 24-hour day, but they do day-long room checks. And this is what I mean. So, Ty, you are a Division I athlete. You are my starting quarterback. I have a person assigned strictly to you. They know your exact. They are linked to your school schedule. When you go to your first class in the morning, that person is standing at the door. You sign in with that person and go into your class. This individual will stand outside of your class and wait for you to leave, and you will sign out with that person before you leave class. And they follow you around all day long. They know all your homework assignments. They know all your tutoring hours. They know all your practice hours. They know all your weightlifting hours. If you don't show up for some, she or he is a text message away from your head and position coach, and you will be punished. I know for a fact some colleges don't even play kids on Saturday because of small things like that, of not showing up on class and things of that nature. I don't know what else to call it, but I just call it babysitting, man.
That's what it sounds like, and I'm not even convinced that that's the appropriate method to take, because it's almost like they're in prison and they're not really have rehabilitation programs. And when I say rehabilitation, I'm not talking about from a leaving prison or that kind of thing. I'm talking about rehabilitating that person from the environment or that they may have grew up in. And so
what normally what you find is the kids that are having, like, you know, like, say, for instance, the different monitors. Those kids are kids that have shown that they cannot get it done on their own. Either for whatever reason, you know, the normal everyday program of them having to be dependent on doing these things alone, they can't do it. So then the coach may find somebody to hold their hand and get it done.
Lee, I don't know if you've seen College Football Game Day over the weekend. Two topics that came out of that conversation I wanted to get you and coach's opinion. Number one, Kirk Herbstreit and Lee Corso are extremely high on LSU. Why is that? What do they know? What is it that they know that we don't
Man.
Know?
Live miles down there. Anything can happen with Live Miles, him. Coach.
Look at him. I'm going to tell y'all like this right here. Les Miles. And let me say this for I love my people. I love my people. But Les Miles picks the worst black quarterbacks in the history of college football. And until he finds him a legit quarterback, LSU ain't finna do nothing.
Why you say the worst black quarterback?
Come on. Other than Jamarcus Russell. Who the best black quarterback to play at LSU? Rohan Davis?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Rohan Davis.
Come on, man. Look at these dudes, man. Until he got Mettenberger, he wasn't even decent.
Go. They say Harris is supposed to be a ball player.
Hey, come on,
Lee
man.
Corso, what is it come that on. They see? I'm telling you, we better watch out for that game. The Auburn Tigers better watch out for that game.
I heard Kirk said that he feel like, you know, sort of like Auburn in a way. He feel like with Les Miles and Dolphins coordinator, it's Cam Cameron, am I correct?
You are correct. Yep.
He feel like Cam Cameron going to be able to get that offense rolling. Now, they got Leonard Fournette, so the running game going to be fine.
Oh, he's a game changer. He's a Hall of Fame. He's a Heisman candidate.
I'm going to tell you something, man. He remind me of the worst NFL running back to ever play the game, Trent Richardson.
Ooh.
That's what they're saying. Why are you not impressed with that kid? That kid can play.
But I just have no faith in the quarterback position at LSU.
Yeah, I don't know where they get that from. I mean, being so high on them, but
Lee Corso has LSU winning the national championship. Both Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit has LSU and Ohio State playing in the national championship.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like it's something I'm missing for them to say that. The second point I wanted to ask was that from Michigan's own Desmond Howard. Now, sometimes I question Brother Desmond. I question his football logic mentality.
They got Desmond on the script, man. He got to play devil's advocate. He got to say something. Yeah, he got to say something totally left field to keep the show balanced.
Especially when his prediction is for Texas A&M to win the SEC West and make the Final Four. Now, tell me that. Football season is over in January, correct?
Right.
College football season is over in January.
Right. That's right.
College football season picks up full time in August. Mm-hmm. What was Brother Desmond doing between January and August? Because he definitely wasn't looking at nobody's film.
Polishing his Heisman. Doing Nissan commercials for the Heisman House.
You better go look at who endorsing him. He might have some endorsements coming from College Station.
Okay. Look, man, I will tell you this.
I believe in Kevin Sumlin. I believe in Kevin Sumlin. I believe that he is probably one of the best coaches, but I don't see how they go from I just don't see how they win the SEC West or make the Final Four.
Put it to you this way. I would rather lean there than with LSU. Now, this the one thing I can tell you about Texas A&M. And once again, it's a crapshoot. Once again, it's a crapshoot. But Texas A&M shouldn't have no lack of talent, even on defense. They have recruited very well. Now, as I said with Muschamp and Auburn, that don't necessarily equate to them being great this year. Now, I think they are talented. And I think his offense is always going to put up numbers. They just got to learn how to play some defense. I just can't make myself believe it's this year. But I do think they are a dangerous team. I really do.
Texas A&M? Not this year. I would lean more towards FY. What is that? That'd be FY16. I would lean more towards FY16 than I would FY15 because I feel like, number one, the kid that the dual threat kid that they brought in, I think his name, what is his name? Murray. But the dual threat kid that they brought in is going to be, he's going to be all world from what I'm hearing. They say Kevin Sumlin walks with his chest out and his head held high because he know he has a talent. But until that young man gets a year under his belt in the SEC, I think they're a year away. I just think that they just have too many obstacles to overcome this year, especially from a scheduling perspective.
Okay, well, here's my question. All right. My first question is, how many points would you think they'll average this year?
They'll average between 28 and 33. I'd say 33.
BG?
That was going to be my guess, about 28, 35.
Okay, about 28 points. All right, so the question you got to ask yourself, is John Chavis enough to hold a team to 28 to 21 points?
Let's see, you're missing the point. Everybody's averaging 28 to 35 points.
But I'm saying, is John Chavis' defensive scheme enough to hold teams to 28 to 21 points?
How many points did Auburn score on LSU last year?
A ton.
Well, that's your answer. Not this year, buddy.
Oh, I'm with you, man. I'm just saying.
You can't go down there tripping, though. You can't get caught.
They dangerous.
And just for the listeners, this is the type of conversation that you hear on D1 Sports Talk. It's very entertaining. It's two guys that follow the game, that know the game, that are passionate about the game, and we will include guests on the show. We have other members of the NWO, as Coach called it earlier. We have other members of NWO that will be joining the show periodically throughout our year of recording. But these are the type of topics that we cover. And we'll have some more dialogue really around X's and O's, week one play, and just how the season is kind of panning out. On the original episode, Coach and I gave our predictions on who we thought would make the Final Four. BG, I got a question What's for up? You. Who's in your Final Four this year?
Just based off of the little bit that I know, I'm going to go with – man, Instagram is a distraction. Okay, my bad. I'm going to go with – I think Ohio State will be in that thing. Pencil me in for – of course, I'm just going to throw Auburn in there just for the sake of throwing in there.
Well, you can't just throw them in there for the sake. You got to have
– Yeah, but because, you know how I feel about all this shit. It's a toss-up anyway, so – But I'm gonna put them in there, and I don't know. Let's say four. So Oregon, because they usually have a little cakewalk.
Speaking of Oregon,
they have a cakewalk to their thing.
You sounded like me. You 3 for 3 with my prediction.
And who be four? And this is just kind of based off of y'all's analysis. And just looking at their road through the regular season, I would probably say TCU because TCU was always in that mix. So with this playoff format, I would probably round it out with TCU.
And that's not a bad four by four. Coach, do you want to change anything or add anything to this conversation?
No, I'm good. But speaking of Oregon, it's something I noticed today. There are two quarterbacks that will be starting for two major Division I football programs that come from smaller programs.
Yeah, East Washington, the Oregon quarterback comes from East Washington.
You know the second one I'm thinking about?
The second one you are thinking about would be?
Now the second kid comes from a Division I program.
Well, you're thinking about Everett Golston.
Nope. The new quarterback at Georgia played at Virginia.
Okay.
That was kind of surprising to me, the way both of those schools recruit. I mean, it has been blatant that Oregon knew this guy was going to be their starter. I mean, everybody was talking about it before the kid from Eastern Washington even got there. So, you know, there's a lot of hopes they got on this kid, and he made it like, what, half semester in the summer?
Yeah, that's the Outside the Lines story they did this week on ESPN. Was talking about how these major schools are basically going into these Division II schools and recruiting them from the perspective to say, hey, under the graduate rule, that if you have went to school for your 3 years and you graduated and you have 1 year of eligibility left, then you have and the school that you are attending does not offer the graduate degree of your choice, Right. Then you have the ability to transfer to another university. And that's essentially what the kid over at Eastern Washington, who quite frankly, I've never seen the kid play. But they say he's an All-American. Now, he can be an All-American at Eastern Washington, but until he put them boots on and he goes into Stanford or he goes into USC in the Rose Bowl and win a big collegiate football, you know, I'm not sold on him yet.
I'm going to tell you something about that kid. He's going to be swagged up this year.
They ain't going to say that ain't no lie. Week in and week out, he might have on anything. He might have on a basketball uniform out there.
Okay.
But can he play?
Hey, that remains to be seen, cuz we'll know. Let me ask y'all one last question.
What's that?
Some part of me makes me want to believe that the kid that transferred from Virginia started against us when we played him in the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
What is his name?
His last name, Lambert. Does that ring a bell?
I don't know the kid. I don't know Lambert. I don't remember him.
He started nine games. Last year, but I want to say that kid started for Virginia in that bowl game against us.
Was he? Because what he would have been then, a freshman or something like that?
Yeah, he is considered a junior this year. Didn't say whether redshirt or not.
Because seemed like, just roughly, seemed like they had a player like that, maybe like a freshman or something that had to step in and play in that particular game. So it seemed like they might have had somebody young that was forced to play in that game. And you have to research that. Might be him.
Well, we'll talk about it on D1 Sports Talk. Yeah. We're GTS, and we're GTS, and when we record later this week, we'll have an answer for the listeners. But that's really what I wanted to do for the night show, was just give the listeners an opportunity to introduce listeners to Coach, introduce the listeners to D1 Sports Talk podcast, which is actually under the new South Movement Network. More to come on that. Go, anything else you want to say? Because guess what, Coach? I got my hands up.
Hey. I just want to say hey to the Free Lunch crew, man. I appreciate y'all giving me this opportunity. D1 Sports Talk about to get ready to pop off. New South Movement. Happy to be part of the crew. We finna get gangster.
Hey, tight. Have to get Coach some social media account.
Oh,
I'm telling you, we got to get him on the social media, because right now I'm managing all social media.
Miss Coach, go ahead and get your permission slip from Miss Coach.
Oh, man.
Let her know you're going to have to have, you're going to have to have some social media access.
Oh man, for the listeners out there, I'm just against all social.
He ain't never.
I ain't got no Twitter, no IG.
Never.
I'm a dinosaur.
Coach, I'm like you, Coach. I'm anti social media, but some things you got to do for the podcast.
I ain't never did that wrong on social media. I just ain't got it.
He ain't never had it. Never.
So that, which is a good segue. You guys can hit us up, or us is Tight and Coach on D1 Sports Talk Podcast. That's our Instagram handler. So it's at D1 Sports Talk Podcast. You can also email us at D1 Sports Talk podcast@gmail.com. So that's D1 Sports Talk podcast@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up and you can listen to our podcast on www.d1sportstalkpodcast.blogspot.com. That's D1 Sports Talk, D1. So for all of those, that's the number 1. D1, the number 1, Sports Talk podcast.blogspot.com. So more to come with that. You can actually find our podcast on the, along with the Free Lunch podcast. So if you go to iTunes, search Free Lunch podcast, you will see the D1 Sports Talk podcast up there loaded, entitled episode 1, which is Married Football. So that's how you can get in touch with either Tide or Coach. Be Jesus.
It's the same old thing. FreeLunchPodcast.com for podcasts and blogs. Also, we on Instagram. This whole network is connected, man. Check us out, Free Lunch Podcast. If you got something you want to tell us, comments, whatever, we accept them. Twitter, Free Lunch Pod C, and be sure to check for us on YouTube, Free Lunch TV.
Can I leave the people with this?
Go with it.
N-W-A. Go check out Straight Outta Compton. Inspiring. It'll change your life. Let's get up out of here. We out of here. Free Love Podcast, home of the New South Movement.
Let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Get it, got him. Let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Super mathematics, not a problem. No lie for that old block. So sign a wave of that ball rock. Super small, handcrafted art designs. No, they know not. Flow tougher than tough time. Blacker than the Gremlin drum line. No overdose, I'm overwoke. I be away from crunch time. Yeah, wear like sunshine. I lead right cross. Punchline, I beat the track. I eat the track. Brown paper breakfast. Lunchtime, dinner date, dessert tray. Ramadan, flow hungry. You see the sign between the line. It's G's only. No dummies, I flow lovely. They go nothing. They catch a feeling. These hoes touch. Yeah, I tell that jump off. No bunches. No awakening. Home study, but you're so pretty.
touch the soul. Sometimes the best way to touch it, stand and go. Let's go, let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Get it, got 'em, got 'em. Let's go, let's go, let's get it. Let's go, let it go now. Let it go, let's get it. Mathematics, before I chose the path chose me. This is the Lord's plan, divine decree.